Guys, it really feels like summer and even more exciting because guess what just came out? Stranger Things, season 4. Who, raise your hand if you've already binged it, you've already watched it. You don't want to say it out loud, but you know you did. You know you watched it. Well, I remember season 3, right, was the Stranger Things summer season. And I realized, oh my gosh, season 4 came out. I turned to Hannah, I'm like, have you seen season 3? She's like, no. I was like, you got to watch it tonight while I'm away. I was at a wedding yesterday. She watched the whole thing, so we're on track. If you want to come over and watch season 4 with us, you're more than welcome. Have a good time. But I'm just excited to be with you guys. We just got back from vacation, and we really missed you guys a lot. We really did. I remember last Friday, we were seeing you guys at Dave & Buster's playing games. And Hannah turns to me and she's like, I just want to be hanging with our students at Dave & Buster's. I'm like, well, vacation, this is great. And they're like, no, I want to be with our students. So we missed you guys. We're happy to be back. And just excited for an epic summer of growth. Amen. And, you know, Stranger Things is awesome. There's a lot of hype around it. Did you guys see the Empire State Building lit up with like Stranger Things graphics all over it? I'm like, they do that for a TV show. I'm like, there's a lot more important things they could light up that building with. But today we're going to be talking about not Stranger Things, but some holy things, amen, some spiritual things. That's not the title of my lesson, but we're going to be talking about some more important things than maybe what the world is celebrating right now.
Come on, Mark.
But we're going to be turning over to the book of Colossians. If you're with the City Ministry, you know we've been doing a series that we just started a couple weeks ago on the book of Colossians, and the title of the series is called Supreme. Supreme. Yes, we ripped that from the brand. Supreme. With pride. So you can turn over to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. We're going to be starting there in a second. But I just want to say, I am very excited to be preaching this passage of Scripture today. Over vacation, I just spent time reading it over and over again, just kind of letting it sink in. And letting God speak to me through this passage. And it's helped me a lot. And I really pray that today it helps you. I love this passage for so many reasons. I don't have time today to get into all that. I want us to have fun and enjoy the park. So I'm not going to be going 3 hours. You guys will be able to hang out. But multiple mornings, I just took time to meditate on what Paul is saying here to the church in Colossae. And so I want to encourage you today to remember that God is in the business of softening our hearts through the Word of God. Amen? And God, this morning, wants to soften your heart. He wants to do something in you through His Word, through His Spirit. And if you let Him, this passage of Scripture, I promise you, will change your life. Amen? So anyone want some change in their life this morning? Anyone feel like you need some refreshment like Rob was talking about? Amen. Well, the title of my sermon today is The Supremacy of Christ. The Supremacy of Christ. You know, as Paul is writing to the church in Colossae, in this part of his letter, he's trying to remind them of what role Jesus in the gospel should be playing in their lives. And that it should be the most important thing going on in their life. That Jesus, He shouldn't just be something we tack on to our lives, some add-on, but that He should be what our lives are all about. Amen? That Christ should be supreme. That's what He's going to get into here, talking about how Jesus should take the throne, and we should get off of the throne. So let's read here, starting in Colossians chapter 1, in verse 15. Paul says, the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things. And in Him, all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith and establish and firm and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant, a slave. We'll stop there. So one of the biggest hurdles we face as humans in getting to know God, our Father, and having a relationship with him, one of the biggest hurdles is that we can't see him, right? Does that mess you guys up a little bit too, right? He's invisible, right? We can't see him. This fact alone can be a major turnoff to many and be a reason why many don't come to know God, because we can't see him, right? I wish Jesus could just roll up right now, push me out of the way, and just say, all right, Jesus, please do this instead of me, right? But he's not here. So this is a dilemma that not just young people, but people of all ages have a problem with. Yeah, God could be real, but how are we going to know? I can't see him, right? There's thousands of different religions because of this one thing. Because we can't see him, we can make up our own gods. We can decide who God wants to be to us, right? There's polytheism. We can have many gods. We can be our own God, right? And so there's many ideas and many bad things that can come from just the simple fact that we can't see the invisible God. But what does verse 15 say, guys? What does Paul say? He says, the Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. So the good news is that Jesus shows us the nature of God. He shows us the character of God. He answers that big question mark of, who is this creator that I'm praying to? Who is this God that created all of this? Jesus is God. Amen?
Amen.
He is God tabernacled among us in the flesh. And Jesus shows us who this God is that wants to know us so badly. And guys, we have the gift of eyewitness accounts of Jesus' life, and not just one, two, three, but four synoptic gospels of his life. We get a front row seat to God on earth. Isn't that pretty good? Right? We can just watch him, see how he treats people, see how he loves God, see how he loves the religious, the poor, the rich, the unrighteous, the righteous. God, we see him through Jesus. We see him through Christ. And through Jesus, God is saying, I want you to know me. I want you to know me. And so, God wants us to see him. He wants us to see Jesus. But let me ask you, do you want to see Jesus? Do you want to see the invisible God that everyone talks about, that everyone doubts, that everyone has their own opinions about? Do you want to know him for yourself? This is important. Why is this important? Why am I talking about this? Because when we see Jesus truly, we see that he should be supreme. That he should be the number one thing in our life when we really see him, the invisible God. That he's the main character of this thing called life. He's what it's all about when we really get to know him. This is so key because we live in a society and a culture that idolizes not Jesus, but self, right? That's the culture we live in. If you were to make a movie and title a movie about the day and age we live in New York and New Jersey, the title of that movie would not be the supremacy of Christ. It would be the supremacy of self. The supremacy of me, right? Macintosh, they got it right. iPod, iPhone, iPad, I'm using one right now. I mean, everything is centered around you in this world. But the scriptures are saying you're not going to experience life to the fullest if it's all about you or if you're supreme. But you're going to experience life to the fullest when Christ is supreme. Amen?
Amen?
So if we don't see Jesus, we can't see that He's supreme. And if we don't see that He's supreme, we're not going to know how to live this life. You're never going to fill that hole in your heart. And so we even find this very individualistic idea in Christian culture, right? We hear things even in Christian culture like, love yourself, do what you love, right? You can do no wrong in God's eyes. You're perfect. You're awesome. When the scriptures actually say, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, right? We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. We all need God. And so what does Paul say about how we should view ourselves, right? Let's read here in verse 16. Because I think we need a wake-up call this morning. Man, like even walking through New York, I'm just like, is everyone selfish? Like, are we all just about ourselves? And I don't think we all are, but man, it can seem like it sometimes. But what does Paul say in verse 16? He says, all things have been created through Him and for Him. Through Him and for Him. Meaning, it's not about us. It's not about you. Guys, you and I were literally created through Jesus, through His power, and for Jesus. There you go. That's my sermon. No, I'm kidding. But like, that is the truth. That is how God has set things up. Every one of us here, everyone in this park today, everyone in the state of New York, this is what they were created for. They wouldn't be a human being if Jesus, God didn't speak life through Christ, and if we aren't living for Him. Every living and breathing thing was created for Jesus. Not yourself, not your own agenda, but Him. Not for the supremacy of Mark, but for the supremacy of Christ in my life. Amen? And guys, this idea is not radical. This is not like, oh my gosh, Mark, what a great point, right? Like, this is not radical in God's eyes. This is just like day one. If you were to go to class with Jesus, and He's like, all right, here's my Jesus 101. Life is about God, right? This has always been from the beginning. What the Bible tells us, a lot of what the Bible tells us, is just how God has set up the universe, how things are ordered to work, right? Sometimes people treat the Bible as like, let me just take what I want. But the Bible is actually telling us, no, here's how God made things. And here's how you should follow them so you can actually know God and live life to the full. Right? So to God, this idea of living for Jesus and Him being supreme is not radical. But man, in our culture, in our society, this is radical. This is countercultural. This goes against everything we've been taught in the school systems and in media, to live for someone besides ourselves. You guys see what I'm talking about here? And so we were created for Him, is what it says here. But I want to ask you, are you really living for Jesus? For God? Or are you living for yourself? Who are you living for? I mean, don't you think, just even speaking logically, that we should live for the very thing that created us? Right? If you were an inventor and you invented this amazing new laptop or new device, new phone, wouldn't it be weird if someone said, no, actually, that's mine and I know how to use it better and I'm gonna tinker with it, I'm gonna add some new things. And you're the inventor, you're like, I created that. For me, that's my tablet. That's got all that I need, right? That's how God feels. He's like, I made this. I made you. This is about me. And yes, it's about us. He loves us. But He's like, I want you to glorify me. I don't want you to idolize self. I think a lot of us are more concerned with maintaining our image than reflecting the very image of Christ. We are bombarded with this importance of have an image, right? Know who you are. Have a style, have a persona, be bold. We're a lot more concerned with how do people see me instead of how do people see Jesus through me and the purpose of life, which is for Jesus. And so I want to encourage you tomorrow morning, tomorrow afternoon, to sit down, get your coffee, get your chai, whatever you drink, I like chai, and get a notebook, and at the top of the page, just write, who am I living for? ? And just think about it. Just pray about it. Think about your week. Think about how you spend your time. Think about your relationships. And just ask yourself, who am I living for? In what ways am I still living for myself and not for the supremacy of Christ? Amen? Now, that's just, don't. It's not homework. All right, I know it's summer. Okay? That's just, you know, work to do at home. I don't know, same thing. Because the aim is that as followers of Jesus, we talk about them, this idea in our Practicing the Way series, but we don't just want to be people that are just practicing churchianity. We want to be followers of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
We want to be doing it. We want to be being with Him. We want to become like Him. We want to do what He did. Amen? And the way we got to start is asking ourselves, am I really living for Jesus?
Come on, Mark.
Let's keep breaking down this passage. Verse 17 and 18, if we read here, in verse 17 and 18, Paul's talking about how Jesus is what holds everything together, right? And He's the head of the body, the church, right? Guys, church is about Jesus. Can I get an amen? Church is about Jesus. It's not about the songs we sing. It's not about what you wear. It's not about who are your friends at the church. It's not about what the sermon's on or where we're meeting. It's about Jesus. It's about His gospel. It's about Him. He is why we're here. He is the head of the body, the church. You can't have a relationship with Jesus and not have a relationship with His body, and you can't have a relationship with His body and not have a relationship with Jesus. It just doesn't work. Jesus must first be supreme in our lives, be the head of our lives, so that He can actually be the head of what we call church, of what we call AONYC and NJCM. Amen? Because again, it says here, Paul says, so that in not just some things He might have the supremacy, but He says, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. Notice that word, might. What does that mean to you guys that it says might? I think it means that Paul's implying it's your choice. You don't have to make Christ supreme. He doesn't have to be the number one thing in your life. You might not. Right? And so we're not just going to waltz in to the supremacy of Christ. We're not just going to waltz in to this life to the full of discipleship. We need to make Him supreme. We need to actually change that might to He is. He will be. He is supreme. And so as we kind of go into this, the last part of my sermon here, what I want to acknowledge is that a lot of what I just said isn't really news to you guys, right? Raise your hand if you feel like you didn't know God should be first in your life. Right? I mean, this isn't like rocket science. But I think that what we have a problem with is we know He should be supreme, but we keep finding ourselves putting other things in front of God. We keep finding ourselves putting other people, putting other passions, hobbies, relationships, anything before God. And it's frustrating because we know what we should do. None of you just raised your hands. We know God should be supreme, And so what I want to talk about a little bit here is why we don't make him supreme, even though we know he's the king of the universe. It's this really weird thing. Like, if someone came up to you today and said, who created this? You'd be like, God. And if someone came up to you and said, what should we live our lives for? You'd probably say Jesus, because it's the right answer, right? Great. If someone came up to Grace and they were like, hey, why am I here? Who should I live for? Grace would say Jesus, right? She knows it. It's in her heart. She believes it, right? And most of you would do the same thing. But what we have to go to is not just saying the right answer to people or knowing the right answer, but actually living it out, actually doing it in our life. And what Paul's going to go on to talk about and remind the church in Colossae of is the reason why Christ is now not being as supreme as he once was. Paul's going to go on to help them remember, hey guys, here's probably why other things are coming before Christ in your life. You guys want to talk about that? You guys with me here? I know it's hot. I'm hot. I have a black t-shirt under this. All right, I'm baking. Stay with me. All right, I ain't wearing this when we're playing sports and stuff, throwing the football. This is I got an AONYC. I got Manny's t-shirt on under this, all right? But here's the reason why we don't put Christ first. It's very simple. It's right here in the passage. Here's the reason. We forgot the gospel. We forgot the good news. We forgot why we even decided to follow Christ in the first place. You know, Rob, he kicked off our series, right? And in the beginning of Colossians 1, in verses 5 and 6, go back there on your own time, Paul says, he talks about something that bears fruit. He talks about this amazing thing that bears fruit. And he doesn't say that we bear fruit. He doesn't say that your nice performance of Christianity bears fruit. You know what he says bears fruit? The gospel. He says the gospel is bearing fruit and growing since the day you first truly understood it. And so a lot of us, what we have to really go back to is, do I get the gospel? Do I know the gospel? Not just do I know about God, but do I know this literally a message from God through Jesus, a message that bears fruit? Isn't that kind of crazy to think about? We were talking about Stranger Things earlier. I said Stranger Things, and just the message of me saying Stranger Things, all y'all are like, what? Stranger Things, season 4? Just me saying those two words, that carried with it a message of this whole show, this whole world that they created. Just a show captivates hearts. Paul's saying you forgot the very message that captivated your heart. You forgot the very gospel that bears fruit in every kind of person's life, no matter where they've grown up, no matter what religion, no matter where they're from. And so what Paul's going to go on to do here in verse 19 to 23 is talk about the gospel. And really what I want to do is just read 19 to 23, because this is the gospel. Paul literally says at the end of this passage, this is the gospel. So if you ever have a time this month or next month where you're like, what's the gospel again? Turn over to Colossians 1. All right? This is what Paul says is the gospel. So let's read again starting in verse 19, as we want to be reminded of this message that bears fruit. And as you read this, open it up right now. Open it up the passage and think about what this means for you. That Jesus has done this for you as a follower of Christ. Let this sink in. Verse 19, for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus, and through Jesus to reconcile to himself all things. To reconcile to himself Ricky, Shauna, John Novak, right? Allison Jones. He wanted to reconcile us through what? What does it say? Through his blood. by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God, and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death. Check this out. This is how Christ presents you. Holy in his sight, without blemish, free from accusation, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. Guys, Paul, he got this, didn't he? He got this. He just told us. I love how he didn't even say, I'm a servant of the church, or I'm a servant of this ministry. And that's probably right to say. I wouldn't have a problem with saying, I serve the New York campus ministry. But Paul says here, I became a servant of a message. Of a message of good news, right? Gospel, that word in the Greek, euangelion, it means good news. And the good news, guys, is that Jesus has made a way, even with all of your sin, all your nastiness, right? All the stuff that you've confessed, maybe things you even haven't confessed. He's made a way through Christ, through his blood, for you to go before God on Judgment Day, and he'll say, you're blameless. Does that make sense? I mean, I'll just speak personally. The amount of wrong things I've done in my life, I'm not even 27 yet, and I feel like, is this really true? Like, am I really without blemish? Holy in his sight? The things I've been addicted to? The deceit that's been in my life? The self-righteousness? The disrespect to my parents? My pride? The way I viewed God? The way I viewed other people? Feeling hatred towards others? And even with all of that sin, that God says, but yeah, you're spotless because of my son. That's amazing. Guys, that is the gospel. And once we get that, we respond to it, right? We decide, this is what I'm going to live for. I heard this quote that kind of really struck me. Out of all people, this quote was from Terry Crews. Any Terry Crews fans out here? All right. Guys, I would encourage you, Terry Crews has got some wisdom that he's dropping, okay? I'm not saying replace Terry Crews' books with the Bible. That'd be terrible. But man, he's got some wisdom. He said this quote. He said, responsibility is the ability to respond. That you know how to respond to situations in your life. That you're not taken captive by your sin. That when things happen or people irk you, or when you're tempted by your friends, that you still have the ability to take control and to respond to the situations around you, to what the world's saying. And Jesus is saying, you need to respond to the gospel. You need to live a life in response to the gospel. You need to make a decision that I'm taking responsibility for what my sin did to Jesus. And I'm not going to leave that alone. My sin, Mark's sin, put God on the cross. That's a fact, right? Your sin put Jesus on the cross. But he said, I'm going to make a way so that you can be righteous. And not only that you can be forgiven, that's just the beginning, but that now you can be a holy vessel of God, filled with the very spirit of Jesus, to do noble work, to reconcile sinners, to be with the very God who created them, and to live for all eternity in the new heaven and the new earth. That's a message I can get behind. I don't know about you. That's a lifestyle I can get behind, waking up every morning knowing I'm going to help reconcile the world to God. That's amazing. When we get that, we'll make Christ supreme. When we know the gospel, we'll actually start putting things after God in our life, right? We'll find ourselves saying, you know what? That chronic sin of mine, I'm done. This good news is too good. You know what? That girl, that guy that's been flirting with me at work or at school, that's kind of been tempting me, I'm done with that. The gospel's way better. But when we don't have the gospel, we will fall for any trash the world's going to throw at us. And you won't have the ability to respond and take responsibility. So, again, I want to encourage you guys to meditate on this and ask yourself, have I lost touch with the gospel that bears fruit? And this is a great passage to take communion off of, because Paul is talking right here about the cross. He's talking about the blood of Christ. Amen. And so if you don't have one yet, raise your hand if you need a communion cup. We're going to take communion here in a second. Thanks, Derek. Get up for Derek, man. Come on. Servant of the gospel, Derek McNeil. And so we're going to take communion here to close out. But guys, as we take this bread in the cup, meditate on why you decided to follow Jesus. And if you haven't decided to follow Jesus yet, ask yourself, have I known the gospel? Have I gotten to know it yet? And if not, talk to someone that brought you out today and say, hey, I heard that skinny white guy talking about this gospel. What's that all about? You know, could you tell me more about this thing that he's saying should like bear fruit and change our lives? Like, talk to the person who brought you out. Get in the Bible. Get to know this good news that bears fruit. Guys, Christ is supreme. He is. He will always be. But just because He is in the order of the universe, it doesn't mean He's supreme in your life. Right? And so, I want to ask you, is Christ supreme? Or are you supreme in your life? Or is it school? Is it a friend? Is it your work? Is it your job? Is it your image? Is it who you present yourself as on social media? Is it how you look to your friend, your closer friends? Is Christ supreme in your life? And if not, decide to get back to the gospel, to get back to why He should be supreme. Amen? We're near a lot of trees today in the park. I wore my tree hat. You're welcome. And I want you guys to kind of think about how the same trees that God spoke out through Jesus to create, the same wood, the same trees, is the same material that Jesus went to the cross on. He created the very thing He would be killed on. Isn't that amazing? So as you take communion, take time to think about that and think and reflect on this passage we just read, what Christ has done for you. I know it can be distracting. We're in Central Park, but let's pray and let's take communion. I hope this was helpful for you guys today. Feel free to have conversations on your own time about it. We're going to have a fun time of fellowship. We're going to enjoy being together, being united through Jesus. But let's pray right now for the communion. Father God, thank You so, so much for the gift of Your Son Jesus, for the gospel, of the good news of Your Son Jesus and His kingdom. Father, we do not want to just go through the motions. We don't want to just be people who show up on Sunday. We want to be people who walk the walk. We want You to take the throne of our life, God. And God, I pray that for everyone here gathered today, that You will help us to know Your gospel, that it will bear fruit in our life, and that we can let You be the King that You want to be. Thank You for the death that You died to captivate our hearts, God. God, we don't deserve it, but You have done this strictly out of Your own love for us. We love You. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.